In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, Amen. This homily will not be about the immorality of acts against the sixth and ninth commandments, because I'm sure that Father Branch has already covered a lot of that, and we already know what the church teaching is. Namely, we know that any action which includes passionate kissing and more is mortally sinful. Pope Alexander VII condemned the laxest proposition that it was only venially sinful to engage in passionate kissing. So we know people very often ask, you know, how far can I go? Well, there's your answer. You cannot engage in passionate kissing or more. But this homily is about the means of obtaining chastity and purity. And there are a number of different ways which different people find helpful, but it would be good to review a number of different ways so that people can actually make use of those which would be most beneficial to them. One of the ways is you can work on a true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she who is most pure loves to make her children like herself. Namely, she loves to beget the virtue of purity in them so that a good and strong devotion to her will result in her giving a high degree of purity to the person. Very few people attain a high degree of purity without a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In fact, I have yet to meet one who actually has reached a high degree of purity without it. And in connection to this, there is, of course, the devotion of the three Hail Marys. St. Leonard often preached the devotion of the three Hail Marys morning and evening, that is, you say, three in the morning and three in the evening, in honor of the Mary Immaculate, to obtain the grace of avoiding all mortal sin during the day or night. He assured his listeners, those who remain persistently faithful to this pious practice will most certainly receive the grace of eternal salvation. Then there is the practice of St. Alphonsus Liguori. St. Alphonsus Liguori suggested that the three Hail Marys be said kneeling, and that this prayer should be recited after each Hail Mary. By thy pure and immaculate conception, O Mary, make my body pure and my soul holy. And many people I have seen who have started this, who have struggled a great deal with chastity, have found that in saying this devotion over the course of time, the temptation still came, but they were able to remain continent, that is, steadfast, despite the tumult of their appetites. And so I would really encourage people to follow this devotion. You can go onto the internet and Google in devotion of the three Hail Marys, and several websites will come up with it. Then, of course, there is the devotion to saints who are known for their purity, such as Saint Maria Goretti and Saint Catherine of Siena and the like. If you are a man, a strong devotion to Saint Joseph will teach you what it means to be a man, that is, how to practice self-denial and self-discipline, which are the hallmarks of manliness. In other words, to be a man means to have self-possession, even in the face of something that is a strong good. Lack of self-control in relationship to this area is effeminate, despite the fact that in our culture, lack of self-control and prowess in this area is often touted as a sign of manliness. It's the exact opposite. It shows a lack of self-control, a lack of fortitude in relationship to self. Of course, one cannot obtain purity without custody of eyes. That is, you cannot let anything come into your senses that is going to actually end up affecting you. And it's the same thing with custody of the mind. You have to get the control of the senses, both external and interior, which are going to lead you into these sins. Sin begins in thought, and so it's necessary to get control of the imagination. And custody of the eyes or custody of the senses isn't enough. You can have great custody of the eyes and the senses, but there are certain senses we can't turn off. You can't turn off your hearing, your smell, and things of this sort. I mean, you can try and not breathe for a while. You can try and put your fingers in your ears. But the fact is that we can't totally cut ourselves off from our senses. And so it's necessary to have custody of the mind because, especially in today's culture, where the impurity is ever encroaching on our exterior lives, it becomes, in certain cases, almost impossible to have perfect custody of the senses because of what goes on. So it's necessary to have custody of the mind. You also have to avoid person, places, and things which lead you into sin. If your boyfriend or girlfriend or your fiancé is an occasion of sin for you, that is, you have fallen with them, and you cannot be chased around them, then you have to avoid them, even if you're going to marry them. And this means there has to be proper safeguards put on. You also have to avoid all those circumstances which leads to sin in their presence. You have to avoid bad sites on the internet. There is a drastic rise. I've noticed this just in the 10 years that I've been a priest, that the viewing of materials contrary to the 6th and 9th commandments has drastically increased because of the ease of access in which we have on the internet. It's much easier now. So men or women who used to have to go down to the store to buy these materials now can just look at it on the internet in the privacy of their own home without the external shame of actually buying the materials or being seen as being associated with them. So it's much easier for people to fall into because it's much more hidden. But of course, we know no sin is purely private. Why? Because when you stand before God at the final general judgment, every infraction of the law that you committed will be manifest to everybody. Everybody gets to see everything you did. And this is for God's glory, partly because of the fact that God has a right to public vindication for every infraction of the law. And that's one of the principal reasons for the general judgment. So don't think you're getting away with it. Plus, you know in your conscience you're not, because you have to go to confession afterwards. I usually tell people, if the computer is an occasion of sin for you, if you can't go on that thing without viewing those sites, guess what you have to do? You have to get rid of the computer. And this is something that's very important, that people recognize that it's better to put some pictures of Our Lady as your wallpaper, or have a little statue of her, or a little card on the monitor, so that you know there's always somebody watching you. You can also work on a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart, which will temper your desires in this regard. Of course, mortification, penance, fasting, and these things are very helpful, because the person gets in the practice of self-denial, which strengthens the will so that when they are tempted, they can put these things aside. You must make resolutions of the will. If a person is struggling with this, what you need to do is make little acts of the will. Aside from the saying of, I'm not going to fall into this, I'm going to fight this, what you need to do is, when you go to confession, then you don't just walk out lackadaisically. You have to, throughout the course of the day, say to yourself, when these things occur, I'm going to avoid them. Now, this applies to any sin. If you have a problem with gossiping or getting angry, you have to say to yourself, get into the habit so that intellectually this thing, it will be reminded to you, you know, when this occurs, I'm going to do this. And that will strengthen the will and make the associations in your intellect so that when these things occur, you'll at least have something to rest upon, some habit. And this will help develop the habit and the will, which we call virtue, and so you can act against it. You can also make acts of hope and charity to combat the desperation with respect to hope, because a lot of people who repeatedly fall into sins against the sixth commandment very often start suffering from despair. And this is, of course, a natural consequence of the sin. But making acts of hope will give them confidence in God so that they're more likely to rely on God in temptation. And one of the fruits, or many of the, there are the charity, by its very nature, causes the person to burn interiorly for God, which means he won't burn with those things which pertain to the 6th and 9th commandments. And so as a result, if he has a strong charity, he will also have purity and chastity, which are, of course, one of the fruits of the Holy Ghost, which is continence and chastity. And so they'll actually have this if they have a strong sense of charity. So making acts of charity regularly will help. You can contemplate eternal damnation, which is the result of this sin. Many people who have problems with the 6th and 9th commandments tend to be a bit presumptuous, saying to themselves, oh, well, I'll just give in now, and tomorrow I'll get to confession. You don't know this. God can retract the grace of repentance. To actually make a true and sincere confession requires grace. God is not obliged to give you the grace. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that there comes a point where God, by divine decree, tolerates a certain number of mortal sins from people, from a particular individual. And then after that, once the person has committed the last mortal sin, God says, that's it. He pulls the plug on the grace, and the person is destined for hell. Now, people have this idea that God always gives everybody all the grace all their life, even at the time of death. This is nonsense. The Church has always told us that we must pray for final penitence and final perseverance. If we didn't have to pray for that, and if God always was going to give it, then you know, the presumption would probably be less of a sin, but the fact of the matter is it is not. God can pull the grace at any time he so chooses. He's not obliged to, although he does not want the death of a sinner, and he's always trying to convert people, but that doesn't mean that he's always going to provide you the grace. So presumption is very often connected to the capital sin of lust. Regarding reception of the sacraments, Holy Communion and daily Mass are very efficacious for growing in purity. If you're struggling with a sin in this area, get to confession regularly. And by regularly, I mean once a week or once every 2 weeks. Otherwise, if you're repeatedly staying out of sin, that is, if you're habitually in the state of grace, getting to confession once a month is a good practice. If you feel yourself weakening but have not sinned yet, get to confession anyway, because people will often find that once they get to confession, the temptations will often cease or break. Do not submit to the idea that once you've fallen, there's no point in withholding yourself, and then you give yourself over to the sin, because each time you do it, it increases the habit and makes it more difficult to crush it later. In other words, you set yourself up for more difficulties later. Plus, you have to make reparation for each one of these sins. Each time you sin, it increases the disordered effects and bad habits in your faculties. So once you fall, stop and get to confession. Then there's a thing called self-exorcism. Our Lord gave us the example, of course, and it's an important mechanism because it employs custody of the mind. If the thoughts come to your mind, then immediately turn, because sometimes they can come from Satan, so you immediately turn to Satan. Not all the time they're from Satan, but many times. So you immediately turn to Satan and use the words of Christ, "Get behind me, Satan." And by doing so, you'll switch your mind away from the thought which is tempting you and to Satan. And even if it's not from Satan, then he still takes a beating anyway, which is always a good thing. If it's not from Satan, then it's analogous, as I have mentioned before in some homilies, to a vicious dog. If every time you see a dog, he's barking and snarling, you're not going to go up there and try and pet him. The same thing happens with demons in relationship to us. If they see that every time they're going to take a beating around us, then they're not going to come near us unless they have to. So you can work on self-exorcism. Remember that you will have to have control in marriage, so get used to it. Lack of self-control in the relationship to one's girlfriend or one's fiancé, or even one's wife in this area, manifests a lack of self-control, and therefore that lack of self-control will afflict the marriage. Do not even date somebody who does not have chastity. If you can't be chaste around each other, it's probably a good sign that, you know, you shouldn't be around each other. Virtue is its own reward. So in other words, once you start gaining chastity and purity, people find a joy in being chaste and in being pure. And of course, St. Thomas says that we gain a form of happiness in this life because there is an imperfect happiness in the life of virtue. Perfect happiness consists in the life of contemplation, which is seeing God face to face. Practicing modesty will refine your sensitivities in this area, and it will make your appetites recoil in the face of the temptation because you're in the habit of being modest. And so the person will be horrified by these thoughts. Modesty begins at the root cause of purity, as one seeks to not let anything into him that will make him bad, or do anything exteriorly which will make him bad. Sins against these two commandments, the sixth and ninth, almost always are preempted by immodesty in some fashion, in the person's speech or in their behavior or things of this sort. Lastly, avoid TV and secular movies. This is not only because of the content, but because they can, if not used judiciously and moderately, lead to a weakening of the imagination and other faculties, which means when the temptation comes, it's harder to get the imagination under control. So these are some of the things that you can do. I would encourage all of you to make use of them. Those who already have purity, work on perfecting the virtue of modesty, which in the coming weeks I will start talking about. I will do a series of homilies on modesty because it's a much more complex virtue than people realize. There's much more involved in it than people realize. But in the coming weeks, I'll do that. But those who have purity can perfect it by working on modesty and continue to work on it, because purity is most pleasing to our Lord. So people can begin becoming more pleasing by perfecting their purity, even if they have it. And those who don't can make use of these means. And make sure, as I mentioned, you always throw yourself at the mercy of Our Lady, asking her to provide you with the grace in order to refrain from these vices. Remember, some people, and this is where presumption comes in, some people think that once they've mastered the sins against the sixth and ninth commandment, that somehow they don't have to worry about it again. But God can retract the grace, leave you unprotected from the demonic, and nobody is beyond falling into these things without God's grace. So make sure you flee to Our Lady, who is the mediatrix of all grace, so that she may protect you under her mantle. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.